Everybody, welcome to a championship edition of Rumors versus Facts. We don't really have a championship for us, but there's a championship going on after this game or after the show. So we're going to try to get in and out on our recruiting show. We say that every week, and we always want to talk for like an hour because there's a lot going on. But there was a lot going on this past week. We normally would have had a live commitment watch party for maybe, you know, Mason Short or Mr. Zollers. But Jed May had to go off and do some stupid crap with his brother. So,
yeah, man, I tweeted Mason Short's commitment story from the tee box as we were about to tee off for the bachelor party. So,
it's good to work at UGA Sports.
One, that's what matters, and you know, Jordan getting a commitment was a bonus. So, yeah, but like, what Zollers was at 3 o'clock, and Mason was at 9-ish on Friday morning. So a busy. What, 24 hours pretty much on the recruiting front? One good, one not so good.
Who picked their time first?
It was. I think it was Zollers. Because his had been 3 o'clock for a couple weeks.
So there's the off chance that Kirby Smart wouldn't get a commit on Thursday. Friday morning, he had a commit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, God, if there's two big names going back-to-back and – you're not sure about the first one, you could be damn sure Georgia's getting the second one.
Yep.
Hey, yep. Yeah, that's Kirby for you, man. I'm not saying he set it up, but he set it up. Anyway, Kirby Smart did not get his quarterback. Guys, give me your thoughts on Zollers picking Missouri. I know a lot of people, there was one guy went on the dog on the vault. He's like, why won't anybody pick where this kid's going? Why don't you go out on a limb? I'm like, the kid doesn't freaking know.
Yeah.
It would be an absolute guess. And the way it was told to me was he came into the Georgia visit, again, only his second visit. We talked last week. We said if he commits after just two visits, that's unique in the whole situation. But I was told he came in as a Missouri lean, like 80-20. And when he left, it was like 60-40. Georgia jumped up really into the heart of it. But I want you guys, y'all are the recruiting guys. For folks that don't know, it's Jed May, Trent Smallwood, and Lance McCauley, McCurley.
We should have
give me your thoughts about the whole Zollers situation.
I feel like you said nobody really knew until, I mean, it seemed like it really kind of started to be finalized on Thursday, like around noonish. But even still, like, you know, you mentioned how low key it was, Roddy. I had one source tell me that he did a good job keeping his cards close to the vest, pretty much with everybody. Like, I don't think the schools knew. We were talking with Gabe DeArmond, our Missouri guy. He said Missouri didn't know, Georgia didn't know. I would assume Penn State and Pitt didn't know. Like, I don't think anybody really had a good grasp on this thing until the last couple hours before. So yeah, Kirby Smart, and then they gave it a good run. They didn't offer him until I think late January, and then he visited right after that, and then, like you said, came back on April 2nd, which was the last visit. You like your chances when you do get that last visit, but in the end, it just it wasn't enough. It was right down to the wire. It was really close. I do think Georgia came in second, right behind Missouri. But ultimately, he chose to be a Tiger. So now it's you know, there was all the debate. You know, it's would Georgia take Zollers with Juju Lewis still out there? And now it doesn't really matter because we're right back to the all in on the Juju Lewis sweepstakes again. So,
Trent.
Yeah, I think. You know, talking to Gabe, and he was supposed to talk to Missouri, I think, at 2 Eastern before his announcement. So I don't think Missouri really had a definite answer till right around that point. So you're looking at about an hour or so before his announcement. So he kind of left both schools in the dark. And, you know, he played it close, you know, to his family. I'm not even sure him and his family. He mentioned that he made his decision that morning. So, so that's interesting in itself, and it kind of shows you how close Georgia got this. But I'd always said if Missouri had you know, kind of lacked, they had a bunch of playmakers, and it was a legit quarterback, and I think Zollers is you know, one of if not the top quarterback in the country from a potential standpoint. So it was a big get for Missouri.
Lance, a lot of people said, well, he doesn't want to come here because he thinks that they might go get Juju Lewis. Yeah. I didn't get that vibe from him. But mm-hmm. Of course, that's, you know, just reading between the lines. I didn't speak to him during this whole thing. You guys did. But he told Jed, hey, they're taking one quarterback.
Yeah. So did he not believe that?
Did he think that one quarterback means I'm the guy until they get Juju? I mean, give me your, there's a lot of rampant speculation, and that, the whole point of the show is called Rumors Versus Facts. We're trying to wade through the rumors, come up with some actual facts. And I mean, the kid went on the record saying they're only going to take one QB.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I kind of agree with that. I mean, it's is it like, hey, they said, you know, maybe on today, hey, commit now, but you know, we're still going to accurately recruit. You know, Juju Lewis, did that happen? I'm not saying it did, but I mean, it's definitely a possibility. And you know, if you're Matt Zoller's, like, what do you say at that point? Because obviously, you know, you're there 2 days before your commitment. And what if you did hear that? I don't know how, you know, that would make me feel as a recruit. So, you know, that is a possibility. But I mean, it's Missouri. I'm not surprised. You know, I mean, they've been getting some good players in the last, you know, few cycles. And, you know, I don't think that, you know, I don't think that Drinkwitz is a bad coach, but, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, come get developed, you know, by Kirby and stuff like that. But I mean, Drinkwitz, you know, he's had some good quarterbacks over the years. And, you know, I think that, like Trent said, them having, you know, that last conversation may have, you know, kind of solidified it leading up to his recruitment.
I like to think about this. The comment there from Jason Cancel, I didn't hear about Missouri until with Zoller still later in the game. Penn State and Pitt were the two I'd heard. Yeah, because he had a brother at Pitt, and Penn State's a lot closer. Georgia's in it because they're a two-time national championship, and people think Missouri. Well, you didn't think about Missouri with Luther Burden. You didn't think about Missouri with Williams DeWandre. And I love Gabe over at our Missouri site. Power Mizzou is one of the best sites out there. Kind of the only site that really covers Missouri football, but again, he's a Big J journalist, you know, at a good journalism school, second best to Georgia, so they can suck on that. There's a lot of it's a long story. One of the first things he said was Missouri's NIL has changed the game,
mm-hmm.
and it has. Now, I'm not saying that Matt Zoller's took a bunch of dollars. You know, I love how his coach came out and said it's Zoller's like dollars. I'm like.
Oh, on the nose, man. It's on the nose.
Dollar bills, y'all. But I didn't. That was also not something that we heard about. We normally when we hear about the back and forth with here's X amount of dollars, these guys came in with Y, these guys came in with a Y plus 10%, and we kind of hear that back and forth. That's not what I heard. Trent, Jed, Lance, anybody else hear any of that? Because it didn't sound to me like this was a dollar issue, but you got to think that it puts them on equal footing, even though you don't. Drinkwitz has had some good players, but he doesn't have two titles. Hell, he doesn't even have an SEC championship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your finalists, I mean, you look at the four finalists, Georgia is you know, infamously maybe a school that doesn't give a whole bunch of NIL money to freshmen. Penn State, I don't think, is really in that realm, and neither is Pitt. So, obviously, Missouri won. But if this was an NIL thing, you'd have seen the more traditional NIL, you know, powers, I guess, be the finalists. Instead of Penn State, you would see Miami. Instead of Pitt, you'd see, you know, maybe an A&M, an Oregon, somebody like that. So, hell, Ohio State, the way they're throwing money around. So, I don't think NIL was the ultimate decision, but like you said, Roddy, when you have Missouri kind of getting into the race with the offense they have and the playmakers they have and things like that, then NIL could be that thing that kind of takes them over the top when you compare them to a Georgia or a Penn State.
Or at least gets them in the conversation.
Yeah, I don't think NIL was the main, thing in this recruitment. It was more so, from what I've heard, what I believe is it was more so what Georgia's brought in, what Georgia has coming, and it's the competition that he's going to face. You know, you're going to have competition wherever you go, but it's going to be a whole lot easier to see the field at Missouri than it is Georgia from a competition standpoint, from a couple guys being in front of you, you know, when you get here. having that 2026 quarterback they just landed, just the overall, you know, the room itself, I think, did not work in Georgia's favor. You know, most of these quarterbacks are not scared of competition, but they all, and they say that, and that's a, more of a, you know, a power boost in their ego kind of thing. But they do look at the room. And when you see a room like Georgia has at the quarterback position, and then compare it to Missouri, and you have that kind of same kind of feeling towards both schools, and you're comfortable with both schools, sometimes it wins out where it's easier to get on the field.
Mm-hmm. To your point, I did hear from somebody within UJ that said, look, this was speculation on their point. They said, maybe it's just competition. And to your point, yeah, he's not scared of it. He never struck me as being worried about it. But when you look at Ryan Puglisi and Jared Curtis, and you're the sandwich between those two, that's freaking tough. You know, I mean, yeah, you're a good quarterback, but I can go somewhere else. I know I can play. I know mm-hmm. I'm the man. I know that. And to Chris Foster there with the big T, he says, yeah, well, once a year they kind of go in all on one player, which is exactly what we predicted 3 years ago on this very damn show. We said, look, some of these teams are not going to be able to do what Georgia does and get a bunch of five stars, but they can get one. And that's the one guy that you were focusing on, that you were trying to get. And we saw it happen right off the bat with Luther Burden. Okay, well, they're not getting 13 other pieces like that. Georgia is getting 13, 14, five-star, four, high four-star guys. You know, but nobody else is doing that. But if each of these other schools gets 1-1-1-1-1, you'll have a situation where nobody's signing 3, 4, 5 stars anymore. Everybody's getting one. And local kid, yeah, I get that. So this one, if you're trying to go between, you got to follow Ryan Puglisi, and then you got Jared Curtis nipping at your heels, and Curtis is really, really good. He's going to be a, you know, do we dare call him the next Juju Lewis, you know, just kind of a guy that everybody's watching. I can just see Zollers going, nah, I can go somewhere else. It's a little bit easier. So just a quick thought there. Got to get an offensive guard who works at it, and it's Juju or bust. True. I like this one from Goat Dog. UGA basketball transfer portal notifications. Rivals are scaring the hell out of me. I keep thinking they're talking about football when they come through. Yeah. Hey, you got what is today? You got 1 week.
I was gonna say the football ones are coming. Just not necessarily new, but they will be. They'll be in full force in the next couple of weeks, I'm sure.
Yeah. You got 1 week there, Goat Dog. Before you might turn your phone off and just see what happens. Yeah, Jermaine King says, please direct all of your super chats tonight to the Classic City Collective. I was approached about having Kirby Smart come on our show, and every super chat that was done would go to the Classic City Collective. I said, hell yeah. We'll be happy to do that. If people want to hit that super chat, we'll mark each one of them and send them directly. We can have Kirby on and say, look, you want to ask him a question? It's $500. Every $500 you get, you can ask him a question. You can go right to the heart of asking about a play at Georgia versus Alabama. $1,000, you can get him to answer two questions or something like that.
Maybe that's a press
conference. You run that tall sweep left.
Yeah,
exactly. why do you pull James Cook when he's just getting warmed up? That would be mine. James is just getting frothy, and we snatch him out of there. But anyway, let's switch gears here and talk about, like, okay, Georgia's not getting Zollers. What about Juju Lewis or Ryan Montgomery? Who are they getting? Are they taking a quarterback in this group? Got to be taking at least one.
I don't know, man. I've been firmly, like, in the camp that I haven't gotten myself to talk myself into Julian Lewis coming to Georgia yet. I can't cross that bridge. But I did put in my end of spring reset today. I think Georgia's probably in the top contender to flip him, just with the relationships, how many times he's visited. You know, we've gone over this a million times, but I don't know. And the thing is, you know, Julian Lewis says he wants to be decided before the season, like one way or another. It's going to go to signing day no matter what, I think. Ryan Montgomery over the weekend comes out and says, hey, I'm not doing the whole summer official visit thing anymore. I'm going to commit, I think, early May, and then take one official visit to whoever I commit to. So now if you're Georgia, you're like, you're probably not going to, you know, green light Montgomery I wouldn't think, if you haven't by now. So he will most likely end up at Florida or South Carolina. And so then you're really all in on Juju. And if you don't get him, if it comes through, do you flip Montgomery late? Maybe. Do you try to get a camp offer guy, a senior late bloomer guy? And like you said, Roddy, have them be that bridge to the Jared Curtis coming in 2026. I don't know, but you know, we said even when Matt Zollers was in it, there's a chance Georgia can maybe get two of these three guys, and there's a chance they get zero. Yeah. And I just, you know, that zero, I wouldn't necessarily say it's you know, super likely, but I don't know. I personally can't get myself to cross that bridge that Juju Lewis is going to be a Bulldog. Not yet.
I think a lot has to do with the progression of Ryan Pugliese, with the 26 quarterback you just added, and having those two guys. So I think you go Juju or like you said, a camp offer, because you put yourself in a situation where you don't have to land necessarily a high caliber guy. If it's not who you want, you can go to a guy that's a, like you said, camp offer, or a guy that's kind of off the radar, not on everybody's radar, and you have Curtis in your back pocket for 26, and then Pugliese, you know, in this past class. So I think Georgia sits in a good position in the quarterback room. Of course, you want to take one every year, at least one every year, but they're not in a situation where they have to land one of the top guys. I think that, you know, that kind of ease that pressure with Landon Curtis in the 26 class, mm-hmm. and you know, the progression of Pugliese.
Mm-hmm. Is there a scenario where, you know, you don't end up, you know, with both, and you know, like you said, you got to go look for, you know, a guy that's kind of under the radar? Or, you know, I've had people, you know, kind of ask me the same question just out in public and just online, and you know, is a guy like Luke Nickell at Milton High School right down the road? Is that a name that you go after? And, you know, even though he's committed to Miami, he's been committed to Miami for a while, but I assume just, we're talking to him after the state championship game, that, you know, he says Georgia still contacts him. You know, is that something that kind of, that communication, is that still there? Is it from every now and then, or does it pick up, you know, if they end up not landing a Juju or Ryan Montgomery?
I think you've got the talent, or you've got the status. You're the University of freaking Georgia. Go for Juju. If you don't get him, tell him, put out a note. Hey, we need a transfer portal quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to pick a guy, but if Kirby said that in press conference, yeah, we're going to look in the portal for a transfer quarterback. There are going to be like six top guys that are like, Kirby Smart, the head coach of the two-time defending national champions, who could have almost been the three-time defending champions, who are back in the playoffs this year, they're looking for a transfer quarterback. You know, because sometimes you don't know where you're going. I'm just saying, you can do that. And again, you hold out for a top guy.
And something that is factoring into the pitch to these guys now, like Jared Curtis brought this up. He said, yeah, the pitch is you come to Georgia, you're going to play with the best offensive linemen, the best receivers, the best running backs. So when you're talking about transfer portal guys, those are guys who have already, you know, in most cases exhausted some of their eligibility. So they don't want to go somewhere and be part of a rebuild, so to speak. They want to go to a team that is, you know, quote unquote, a quarterback away. And that might be a little bit dramatic to say Georgia would be in that position next year, but they would be going to a team that is, I guess, ready made, where you could step in and be part of a successful team right away. So that's going to, like you said, Roddy, top guys would be, you know, falling all over themselves to be trying to get to Georgia, to be a part of a team that's got so much talent around them, a quarterback.
Only problem is top guys demand top money.
Yep.
But hey, if they've got the money to get Juju, then they've got it somewhere. So whatever plans you're putting in effect to do that, maybe you go out and get a transfer portal quarterback again. I don't know. There's got to be a guy that's just tired as hell of being hit because he's got a very porous offensive line. I'm thinking about like Trevor Etienne, the offensive line he was running behind versus running behind this offensive line. He's going to be thinking, man, there's gaps. I'm not getting hit behind the line of scrimmage. I get to follow Micah Morris's big ass through that B gap.
Well, and there was a lot of critique on ETN's blocking. And but when you have Georgia's offensive line, you can go run routes instead of sending them blocking. I mean, you ain't gotta be a sixth blocker or a seventh blocker. And you can go run routes. So that, you know, he caught a lot of critiques from Florida fans about, well, he can't block. Well, he ain't gonna be blocking much at Georgia. He's gonna be going out for screens and going out for passes and stuff like that.
That's a great point. You remember when I started a long time ago, the weekly tweet about tight ends. I always wanted them to use the tight ends. And I actually had a Georgia offensive line coach turn to me and go, "We got to use them to block, Roddy. I know you want to throw to them, but we can't block for shit." He didn't quite say it that way, but it was a variation therein. He's like, "This play, we have to have him stay in." You know, and so you bring in some guys who are really good pass catchers, but they had to be inline blockers a lot because they just couldn't do it. Now, all of a sudden, Georgia has a Broderick Jones, you know, a Jamari Sawyer, you know, Warren McClendon, Andrew Thomas. And now those guys are able to go out for passes. Fun times. All right, so I do like the fact that they're not jerking Ryan Montgomery around. Hey, commit. We're going to keep going after Juju in the background. And once he commits, we're going to cut you loose. I think that would just be a jerk move, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like the honesty has been there. It's just at a certain point, you gotta, there's gotta be a yes or no black and white answer to this. Can I commit or not?
Yeah.
I think if that question was posed to Mike Bobo and Kirby Smart tomorrow, they'd say no. And you know, it is what it is. You if you want to go in all in on Juju, that's fine, but you run the risk of a talented guy like Ryan Montgomery going somewhere else. And then if they, you know, if Georgia misses on Juju and you come knocking on Ryan Montgomery's door in September or October, he could be like, "Yeah, you know what? You didn't want me then. I'm good. I found a place that has been prioritizing me for a long time. I'm good. I'm going to stick it out here." So I don't know. It's like I said, there's definitely a scenario where Georgia doesn't get any of these top three guys. And then you're looking, you know, camp offer, senior guy, portal,
multiple. Hey, well, like Jason says there, just pull Arch from Texas.
Sure. Yeah. Like you said, portal opens next week.
I want another Arch recruitment. Let's go.
I mean, you know he's dialed in because he's not going to be in the video game next year.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
there you go. I love it. He's just Sy says, you know, he was saying Georgia needs to get a top defensive tackle, and he does. And that but he brings up a good point because yes, Georgia doesn't have the same, you know, Jordan Davis's, Devontae Wyatt's, Jalen Carter's, Trayvon Walker's. You just don't have that absolute difference maker. But those guys. There's just not a lot of them in the portal. So we're talking about, oh, yeah, well, Georgia can just go to the portal for a top quarterback. Well, could we say the same thing about a top defensive talent, or, you know, defensive end, defensive lineman, and they just may not be there. So I like getting your guy early. And Mr. Israel says you're not getting Juju. See, Jed, you're killing it for everybody.
Maybe they do. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying me personally, I haven't been able to talk myself into it yet. I just haven't got there. They might get there. I might get there, but I don't know.
Georgia did get a commit last week. Let's talk about Mason Short. That was the one I really wanted to have the kind of live show where we kind of count down to his commitment. And that was a fun commitment to watch. Was watching the streaming from his school and, his mom just about tearing up, you know, just so happy, so proud of him. That was just a very touching moment. You know, she seems like a very nice lady. Give me your thoughts on Mason Short, guys.
Yeah, well, he visited, you know, he decommitted from Alabama in the wake of the Saban stuff. And since then, Georgia seemed like the favorite. I think it was either one of you guys, Lance or Trent, put in a future cast for him not long after that happened. And it ended up being ended up coming true. Clemson made it real interesting, but you know the relationships with Stacey Searles, Kirby Smart, the proximity to Athens. You know, Clemson's pretty close too, but just it all went out in the end. And he had a great story about he took kind of a secret visit to Athens for practice, I guess 2 weeks ago now, and you know He said, hey, I just want to come watch practice. The coaches thought it was weird and told Kirby, and Kirby, you know, tackled him. And it was a whole, it was a good story. And
why Kirby tackled him?
They, what did you say, Roddy?
You said Kirby tackled him because he visited practice?
No, because he committed. He committed while he was on the visit. Yeah.
So he left out that part.
Yeah. Tate Ratledge, you know, gave him a big hug, and it was a good thing. And it's another case where Georgia didn't give up on him while he was committed to Alabama, which I think wasn't quite a year, but it was a pretty long time. And as soon as the Saban stuff came down, Georgia put themselves in great position for it. And what, I guess 3 months later, they got his commitment. So first offensive line piece, and it's a big one. Talented guy and an in-state guy on top of that.
I think this was in the works before Saban retired.
Yeah, for sure.
Why did you put in a feature cast so early? You were the first one to do it.
Well, because I think this was in the works before Saban, and he was on campus a lot, and there's certain prospects. We followed the visits, and when you get on campus and you're continuing to build those relationships, and then when all the Alabama stuff went down with Saban and new coaching staff, it was just kind of in my eyes, and from what I've heard, it was just kind of a smooth transition to where it took a while for it to happen, for him to actually commit. I do know Matt Luke was in his ear at Clemson, but at the end of the day, I think relationships won it over, and I think all that was stemming from the relationships built before he was decommitted from Alabama while Saban was still coaching, because there was probably two or three visited for a game. He visited during when you could visit in December. There were several visits that he took, probably five plus over a 4 or 5 month span. So when he decommitted, Georgia was right there to take charge in that recruitment.
I've never spoken to Mason, but I kind of like the quote that he gave Jed. It was like, I'm not, this isn't a pony show or something, something like that. Like he actually, when he saw Georgia practice, he liked the intensity of it. He didn't like, with Georgia, that relationship, kind of started early in it, and it was established. And like Trent said, I think this was going back way before he committed to, or he decommitted from Alabama. Cause he was, that picture right there, I think is one of the only ones we've got of him. That I took at one of the games, and it just looked like he was enjoying himself at that game. And then next thing you know, you just start hearing all this, kind of buzz. Is Mason Short going to stick with Alabama? Is Mason Short going to, when's he going to decommit from Alabama and flip? And I think that Georgia getting in there, early on in his recruitment and continuing to keep that relationship going, helped a lot.
Where does he play? He's a carbon copy, apparently, of Tate Ratledge, but Tate was recruited as a tight
end. He's listed as a tackle. I mean, he's 6'7". He's tall. If you made me bet, I would bet he ends up at guard. Now, granted, that could depend on, who else you get in this class. Like, if you get a David Sanders and, say, Josh Paley, then, maybe you put him at guard from day one. If you don't get those guys, maybe you try him at tackle, see how it goes. Maybe you end up moving him to guard anyway. So the comparison is Tate Ratledge. That's like been hammered home a million times. Obviously, Tate Ratledge has mostly been a guard at Georgia. So we'll see. He did say he's very athletic. The staff likes his feet. So that's step one, I guess. But we'll see. He did say he's enrolling early, so he'll have next spring, I'm sure, will be a time where they kind of try him at a couple of different spots and see where he might end up.
Where do you put him, Trent?
More or less next fall.
I'm going to say he's going to cross train between guard and right tackle. I think you're going to see but what you've seen a lot of that in the past with Georgia players. You saw Xavier Trust do it last year. You've seen Jamari Salyer do it. I mean, they've done it a lot over the past year. So I think you're going to see him cross train a lot. I think he ends up at guard, like you said, but I think it all depends on what Georgia, does Georgia get in a situation where they at tackle where they have a injured tackle and he has the capability of moving out to guard. He definitely has that working for him. So I just think he brings you a versatile guy that can play. I mean, I think you could honestly shift him out to left tackle, and I don't think he's going to kill you. But I don't think that is his best position moving forward. I think it's going to be right tackle or guard. I'd pencil him in at guard, but he does have the potential to play tackle.
He's a little bit of a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, I can see that. And he said he's played all five positions on the line in high school as well. So
give me a 6'6" center. That would be awesome. Freaking giant standing over the ball.
Imagine Stetson trying to hike it from him.
Hey, I thought big men couldn't play center as well, and then we saw Trey Hill get out there.
Yeah.
Oh, thunder thighs.
I'm like, the ball won't get through there. They got to do a great job at it. My thoughts on him real quick. We're watching the film there. Great feet. Can move. Good feet. Like it. But I can also see them saying, we need a guy with a longer wingspan.
Mm-hmm.
A guy with more reach, especially with, you know, those 7-9 techniques come flying off the edge. You know, mm-hmm. They want guys with really long arms. I need to get him on that thing at the Rivals camp where they test out
mm-hmm.
and check it out. I'd like to get a reading on that and see. It has a lot to do with it. You know, we talk about height and weight. You know, we don't always talk about the fact that sometimes it's wingspan and feet. You know, that is what it is. Real quick, who's going to visit this weekend? So we were looking at some of the guys that we talked about, the stuff that happened last week. This is a big week. G-Day's coming this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the make or break. And we had a great story on the front page today of UGAsports.com going back to 2016. You guys remember the 93K day? Kirby Smart comes out at the Arkansas basketball, Georgia versus Arkansas. He challenges everybody to fill up the stands. I want 93,000 people in the seats. We did stories on that forever because every kid was like, they had 93,000 people mm-hmm. come out. I mean, it changed the game. And then you look at that class that he signed, they won two national titles. So they're not going to be 93,000 this year, but I know the G-Day will be a very vanilla game. Kirby doesn't want to give anything away. It's gotten progressively more and more vanilla every year.
Yeah.
But from the list of people who are in the stands, that gets more and more exciting every year. It's more of a who's who each year, irrespective of what other teams are running a big spring game. Georgia's gone head-to-head with Alabama. They've gone head-to-head with Ohio State, Florida, Tennessee, Texas. It doesn't matter. Georgia gets its share of big names. So who are the big names coming?
Yeah, there's a ton of spring games this weekend, by the way. You know, a lot of the commits will be in town. As you'd expect. As far as uncommitted guys, Travis Smith will be there, priority receiver target, second visit of the spring. Zyke Helton, who, you know, we had the story on Georgia's leader, 2026 center. Noted USC Trojan Justice Terry is going to be in town, and he was, I don't know, was it last weekend or weekend before where he was supposed to visit, and it got rescheduled to this weekend. So
Easter weekend, yeah.
Easter weekend.
Yeah, Easter, that's what it was. So he will be in town, I'm sure, Friday afternoon until Sunday, late morning, afternoon. He will we'll hear a lot from the coaches reminding him of why he committed to Georgia in the first place. Ikenagben, a priority edge guy from New Jersey, will be in town. You look at 2026, Jared Curtis will be here. Akini Ogboko, an offensive lineman from North Carolina, the brother of Nnamdi Ogboko from 2024. Akini is like a stud. I don't know if he's a tackle or a guard, but a very highly thought of guy in that class. And and that's just the beginning of the list. I mean, this is Monday, so we will be building the list out throughout the week. You know, wouldn't shock me if Juan Gaston is expected to be there along with Travis Smith. Wouldn't shock me to see a guy like CJ Wiley be back in town. Yeah, it's going to be a full weekend for sure, which is, again, like you said, Roddy, is amazing because there are spring games all over the freaking country. Like, I know Ohio State's having theirs. Maybe Alabama's having theirs. Like, there's just a ton of them all this weekend. But Georgia's Going to have plenty of talent in the stands for sure.
The Masters are having theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to have to miss Georgia's spring game because I will be at the Masters.
Yeah, my heart breaks for you.
I know how broken hearted really you are.
I weep.
It's a tough life.
Yeah. I'll be sure to watch it. But
no,
tape delay.
I was going to say, watch it on what? Your phone's going to be in your car.
Yeah, Jed was working from the golf course last week, so.
Yeah, you got room to talk.
I wouldn't say that. Not once the round started, I would. It teed off on one, man. That was the end of the day. I did tweet from a tee box, though. So, you know.
Was it the last G day that was that the time Bear
last flipped? Year?
Yeah, it was last year. Yeah.
We confirmed it. I saw it as I was walking to the press box when that kind of broke. So that was fun. We'll see if I guess you could hear guys will intend to go in the portal or whatever theoretically, but maybe we'll see what kind of fun comes on Saturday.
Hi, Trent. Does how big is this weekend to try to get Justice Terry to flip back to Georgia?
I think it's big. I mean, he's already got his official visit scheduled to Georgia. I think the goal for Georgia is you're about to see him twice before USC sees him again. And because I don't see him, you know, making a trip out to USC before his official visit to Georgia. So you're about to see him twice. This is going to be kind of the start of it, trying to finalize it before, you know, that during his official visit and before he goes out to USC, because if USC is scheduled to be his last official visit, you know, he could have more after that, of course, but the last scheduled official visit right now. And I think Georgia would like to take these two visits and really show him why he was committed in the first place, his relationships with Georgia, and, you know, try to get him back on the commit list before he, you know, heads out west and for his official visit to USC.
That's a good point. I didn't think about the fact to get him there. I think it was Lance last week that was mentioning the fact that, hey, you know, he's just down the road. And
yeah,
I mean, okay, so Manchester's 2 hours from Athens. Pop up, surprise visits. And of course, the coaches, within reason, I mean, there's only so many times you can actually go visit a guy. Mm-hmm. But it'll be so much easier for five Georgia coaches to go by a Manchester high school game than all the USC coaches.
Yeah.
And still be able to hit like three other kids, you know. So you go to Manchester, then you go right up 17 and you're at Carrollton to see Juju Lewis and a couple other Carrollton guys. And maybe it's they're playing a team that's got a couple kids on it, you know. And you're like, hey, okay. So it'll be tough. I could see a situation where he's like decommits and then basically leaves it open for a while, then maybe he signs on signing day.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants to be the kid that decommitted, flipped, you know, and then flipped back. You know, I think it's usually you see a guy once he flips somewhere, he'll decommit for a while to survey all his options and then wind up recommitting. So
this reminds me of Michael Williams' recruitment so much. And this is like to a T. I mean, you had Georgia early, then you felt like Georgia was starting to what we were told at the camps where Georgia was kind of not recruiting him as hard as he thought they should be, committed to USC, but you always had that feeling that he was going to end up in Georgia's class before signing day. And that's kind of the feeling you get with Justice. So, you know, I can't say for sure that that's what's going to happen. There'll be a lot of deciding factors in that, but you know, with his relationship with the going back to his trainer training Trayvon Walker, who he's with all the time, there's just a lot of ties there to the University of Georgia. And you know, that I have a stronger confidence with Terry than I do with like Juju or the other guys, just because of relationships and how far it goes back.
Yeah, and to Trent's point that Roger right up here on the screen says, you know, Eric Henderson's a good DL coach at USC. Well, so is Trey Scott. So is Trey Scott. And you just mentioned Trayvon Walker. number one pick in the draft. Who was he coached by? It was coached by Trey Scott. You look at Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Devontae Wyatt, the list.
Devontae Wyatt's the one.
Yeah.
I mean, and don't get me wrong, I love Devontae Wyatt. He's from where I spent my early part. I could walk to his high school from where I used to live in Decatur. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's not a great part of town. That guy came in with not a whole lot of fanfare, but we could tell he's an athlete. You remember watching him line up in the backfield and run the ball. You know, he's a good athlete. And with an extra year of development, turned him into a first-round pick.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. Don't get me wrong. I think that
Henderson's a great coach.
Carter went first-round pick. He could have gone to St. Louis Tech. First-round pick, no question. But what you did with Jordan Davis and Devontae Wyatt, that's a 1-2 punch. And again, I'm nothing against Eric Henderson. The man, yeah. He's got Aaron Donald to his credit, and he can say, look, I was just in the I know what they're looking for. Come play for me, and I'll get you there. I know who to call. So it's a hell of a sales pitch. But
I should probably move Henderson to defense coordinator.
Good point. That's a good question. Does anybody know this one? I need to find out from Jermaine. Does the Masters confiscate smartwatches now?
I don't know. I don't know if I had an Apple Watch when I went 2 years ago.
I've worn mine every year and not had a problem.
Because you were poor then. Now you're making big bucks.
That's true. That's true. No,
you can have one as a phone. You know, you don't have to have your phone beside.
Yeah. Never been, but I mean, I would assume so. If y'all never ran into that problem.
I haven't before, but who knows? I mean, I do remember trying to go in one time to shoot a practice round. I took one of my big lenses, you know, just a 80 to 200. They're like, nope, that lens is too big. What? So, you know, I'll just take it off. Any other names we need to know about? Anybody else we need to cover for the upcoming visits before we get into the questions?
I don't think so. Visits. I mean, again, we're adding guys throughout the week. As far as the rest of the week, I mean, Bear Tenney is scheduled to visit on Wednesday, and that's the guy we've kind of mentioned as if Elias Williams ends up flipping, which is a pretty decent possibility. He's kind of like the top target after that. So that's an interesting one to watch. I confirmed actually while we were sitting here that Jonas Walton, a 2026 running back, is going to be in Athens tomorrow. Let's see. He's ranked pretty high, I think, 2026. And actually, there you go, Roddy from Carrollton. Number 8 running back in the country out of Central High School in Carrollton. So that's another in-state guy to know. And then, the big day, of course, is Saturday for sure.
All right, we got a bunch of questions we need to get to. But first, I want to mention our friends over at The Rogue Shop. They are the reason we are we are here. The Rogue Shop was founded. We had them on our show not too long ago. They were founded by a former college football player and veteran who was looking for a way to ease chronic pain. He had a lot of pain from his sports days and his army days. So he didn't want to get addicted to certain narcotics and the opioids and things. And after a while, they stopped giving them to you. So he found out about the anti-inflammatory properties of cannabinoids, got into it, started making them, and he and his wife do a fantastic job. Jermaine, you can see right there on the bottom of the screen, if you actually go on their site, you can chat with her. It's an actual person. It's two people that run this whole thing. You know. So check them out when you get a chance. Use promo code BULLDOGS10. They've got topicals that I've used their topical for my meniscus in my left knee, which is shot all to hell. CBD oils. I've had friends that swear by them. They even have a CBD oil for your pups. So if your pups having issues, you can try their ones for that. And they have Delta 8 and Delta 9 products. Again, if you have a drug, if you're where you work has a drug testing policy, okay. Don't try their Delta 8s. Don't do that because it can make you test positive and you can get in trouble there. So you don't want to be that guy. Let me do this one here. And you can see that the stuff is pretty good. They have chocolate ones. They have their Nerd Bites. They have their fruit flavored ones. Check out our friends at the Rogue Shop. Use promo code Bulldogs10 and you will be happy that you did. Oh, look, there's just Jed. I like that. We'll leave Jed on there all the time.
Yeah, perfect.
I like it. All right, let's go to the questions real fast. Let's pull them up here. Our first one will be from Space Pope 3. Do you think there will be any recruit decisions between G-Day and May 31st official visit weekend?
I mean, odds would tell you yes, just because that's a month and a half. But I think, yeah, I would say so, because I think you get these guys who think, okay, I'm going to take all my spring visits and then decide. And then you get the guys who say, I'm going to take my summer officials and decide. So I think there will be some, a couple maybe, and nobody in particular necessarily. We mentioned Ryan Montgomery earlier as a guy who was slated to commit. I don't think he will commit to Georgia, but that's a guy who has kind of decided he wants to get things over with before the summer. I mean, last year we saw Quintavious Johnson in May, I believe. Or no, he was in the summer. I don't know. I think there will be probably a couple. We just don't necessarily know who yet.
I would take the field too, because yeah. So I'll get April 13th to May 31st. That's 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And the dominoes fall. So Matt Zoller's picks this weekend. Well, Ryan Montgomery's like, okay, well, you're going here. That takes that one off my list. You know, I'm going here. Someone else does. It's the same with offensive tackles, top wide receivers, top cornerbacks. One guy makes a decision and the others start falling into play. So I could definitely see a situation where a few guys you could get a commitment to Penn State that could cause someone to go to Ohio State, that cause someone else to pick Tennessee, and the fourth guy winds up saying, okay, well, I don't want to play in Tennessee. I was thinking about Tennessee and Georgia. If that guy's going to Tennessee, I'm going to Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, it all started because one guy picked Penn State. So in other words, it's easier to pick the field.
I believe Christian Garrett is looking to commit. I mean, this was back in January. I think he told me before the summer of or around his spring ball of his senior year. So possibly watch out for that one. Christian Gass, another in-state kid that Georgia offered right down the road, kind of near where Roddy, you grew up at Eastside High School in Covington, he's looking to commit. He tweeted earlier today that he wants to commit before his senior year. And I remember when Georgia first offered him, he was very high on him, and he said that he wanted to get it done, I think, before because GHSA starts summer ball technically like the second week, the first week, first Monday or second Monday in June. So I think that's one to watch as well.
So those were good. Let's go to the question here from Medical Dog. He said, there's been a lot of talk about UGA's NIL situation and some wild solutions pitched. There have been some good solutions pitched too. We even mentioned one on this show where Kirby can come on and talk to the fans directly and get a bunch of super chats going on. Or we'll put up the logo, the link to Classic City Collective, and people can go straight to it and donate. We'll be happy to exchange that in exchange for him coming on our show. That'd be great. Where do you think UGA sits with NIL amongst the key title competitors? Are we number one, the best, two, one of the best, three, middle of the road, four, lagging behind? I'll take that one, Medical Dog.
Because I want to explain this. Go ahead. I don't think it's the best, but I don't think it's near as bad as it's made out to be. I would say between two and three. I don't think it's made out to be like we need money because if we're gonna keep competing, I don't think Georgia's necessarily lacking on money, but I don't think they're as high as they would like to be necessarily, which is number one. So yeah, that's where I stand.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing between two and three. Just right among the best, obviously good enough. But yeah, not what some other schools are for sure.
I think it's more so how they choose to use it. Definitely. And I think there's a fine line between the way some others use it, which lands some top tier prospects. It does. It's made Georgia miss on several prospects. But I think it's all about how this is how they choose to use it. And you know, I think in my personal opinion, I think Georgia goes about it the right way. I think they go about it the right way. I think Kirby's he's not building for tomorrow. He's building for the future. And you can take one kid and throw a money bag at him, and you're building for tomorrow. But I think Kirby is in it for the long haul, and he's not going to fall into that situation. And I know Kirby's not the one handing out the money; it's the collective. But at the same time, the collective's not going to throw half their collective at one player, while some others might do that.
I think it's right there at three, but I'm in agreement with Trent that, you know, you look at, you know, the skill position, look at all these guys, Jeremiah Smith from the last cycle, at wide receiver and running back. And, you know, Georgia's going to go, and I think they're not going to, you know, put all that money and stock into a high school kid when they can go get a proven player in the portal. Go get Dominic Lovett, go get Ra-Ra Thomas, go get Trevor Etienne. And a couple of years ago, go get the cornerback from Clemson that came in, Darion Kendrick. So
I'm not going to name any names, but I had a very high person up and set that said that Georgia doesn't have to land a Juju Lewis to win a national championship. Other schools do. And that's the difference between Georgia and other schools. Other schools have to use a big allotment of NIL to land a top caliber kid. Georgia doesn't need that top caliber kid to win a national championship.
True. But one of the reasons they don't need a guy like that is because they're deeper than anybody else. And to answer this question, I'll put it to you this way, Medical Dog. If you are a big money donor, you've been asked to give money to UGA the sheer millions that have rolled in the past 2 weeks to the Athletic Association, not to the NIL. That's different. Georgia Athletic Association cannot take its TV money and put it towards NIL. Kirby Smart can't take his money and put it towards NIL. They're not allowed to do that. People keep saying, well, Kirby should pay him. He can't. The university should pay him. They can't. They can change the rules, then maybe they can, but right now you can't do it. Make him employees. If the NCAA and all the presidents agree to do that, yeah, but that's not the way it is right now. So right now, when you have a player go down, Georgia's able to put in somebody else who's pretty good, better than a lot of other players out there. But their starting 22, starting 44 are really good, and you're able to afford those guys. Right now, Georgia is sixth or seventh in the SEC when it comes to NIL things. I know last month they were hurting to meet all the promises that the NIL had made, the classes they collective had made to its current obligations. It was tight. It was a close run thing. So it's not like they've got this huge war chest. To your point, they don't go out and spend a ton of money on a freshman. Caleb Downs coming to Georgia, he was going to get as a big transfer, he was going to get $30,000 a month. He's going to Ohio State for $100,000 a month. So Ohio State went all in after losing the third time to Michigan and went and got the best safety in America. Not everybody can do that on every guy. So Georgia has enough money to keep all its starters. It has enough money to keep a lot of its second team guys. It's the second half of that second team and your third string guys. Who are your depth? Who are the players we talk about? Jermaine King's in here saying, look, you know, Makai Muse blew it up last year. Who's going to be the Makai Muse this year at G-Day? Don't know. Somebody could blow it up, but there's a good possibility if you have a great G-Day and you're not one of the top 44, you go in the portal because you can go to Eastern Kentucky for all of a sudden make a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a couple of those. Georgia's depth, its role players could get picked off this team come April 15th when Georgia says, look, I know what the market value is on you because you're a Georgia player with 1 year, 2 year, 3 years of experience. there are a lot of teams that will pay a lot of money for you because they're more desperate. You know, Ohio State was desperate. They threw a huge chunk of money at Caleb. Missouri, desperate. There are teams that are Ole Miss, desperate. They're as desperate as Georgia fans were 2020, 2021 before the championship, after 40 years of just, you know, being made fun of when people say 1980 and you just took it like it was a slap in the face. You'd have paid anything if it was available back then to do it. So I'm just telling you, this is from the high. Kirby has spoken three or four times, and he did so again at the gala. The gala raised $1.5 million. There was a big donor recently came through with like a $3 million gift. They might wind up having money, but as of last month, Kirby has spoken to three or four different insider groups and people who are used who go to these things all the time because they're big donors. They said, I've never heard Kirby talk the way he talks now. The entire time it's about NIL and how badly he needs our help. So I hope that answers your question, Medical Dog. And again, Medical Dog, what I was saying, all the money that came in, huge amounts of money came in for the to move up in the points structure so that you could buy those new seats that they're putting in where the press box used to be. These are exclusive seats. They're it's a nice thing. But to buy those, you have to be they're going to offer it to whoever's given the most money, number one, whoever's given the second most, number two. And people have been jockeying and donating tons of money. So the Athletic Association is flush with cash. They're getting a ton of it. But now all those donors are also being asked to come up with $100 million so Georgia can have a medical school. You're a medical dog. I'm sure you know about that. So the big donors are saying, look, I'm getting hit up for if I want these seats, I got to pay through the nose. I'm being asked to fund baseball. I'm being asked to fund basketball. I'm being asked to fund a medical center. You can't keep going to the same well. Some of those people are like, look, you know, I'm paying for this kid and this kid. Just can't do it. So that's where it stands right now.
The desperation you talk about also brings hot seat to coaches. You look at Jimbo Fisher, for example. I mean, he landed that class in the $30 million class, but that brought on, if you don't win with this class, you're gone. Yep. And I think this is a similar type situation. I'm not saying Lane Kiffin will be gone, but he is in a win must now with the transfer portal class he just brought in.
Amen.
Like you win or you're gone. And I think they're in a situation where that is. And I think Missouri is you know, going all in on some players. It just puts a load of pressure on the coach to win now. And mm-hmm. I mean, all coaches have that, but it gets greater when you got donors' bucks on the line. And
you're right. They want that return on investment, Trent.
Yep.
If I'm the guy that gave $100,000 so that Caleb Downs could be the face of my business, and he's not doing stuff, I'm mad at him. I'm mad at Ohio State. And I'm furious. And then you come to me next week after we've lost to Michigan for the fourth time in a row, I'm going to tell you to go pound sand. So you're right. And I want that coach fired because I gave $100,000, $1.2 million, and it didn't happen. So you're right. And again, if you're at Ole Miss or you're Missouri or you're any other team, if you're at Kentucky and you're like football, that is, and you're like, yeah, we didn't win the SEC this year, but no one expects us to because we just can't get – we don't have the same players as – Georgia and Alabama and Ohio State. Well, now you don't have that excuse anymore. So to your point, like, hey, Lane, we gave you all the players. We went out and bought Nolan. We went out and bought a bunch of guys.
A whole defense.
Yeah, a whole defense. And you didn't win with them? That's on you, brother. All right, C-Buck Levin says, how many wide receivers will UGA take in this class, and who are the prospects the staff want the most at the position?
Yeah, I mean, I would say – probably three, maybe four. You know, when you talk about guys they want the most, it's C.J. Wiley, it's Travis Smith, it's Taylen Taylor, Javon Boggs has now jumped up that list. We talked about him last week. The recent Ohio State decommit who visited.
That's a good class right there.
Joshua Moore is one. I mean, and we haven't even mentioned guys like Eugene Hilton is high on Georgia. Jordan Allen, a guy from Buford, is really good. Thomas Blackshear out of, I want to say, Calvary Day in Savannah. Like, there's a lot of guys out there who Georgia is in on and that like Georgia a lot. So, yeah, I think definitely three receivers maybe four if it's the right four. But again, like you said earlier, Lance, they have, Georgia has shown that they would like to leave a spot open maybe for a Florida portal guy come January.
And if you notice how Georgia's recruited, you know, the past 2 years to y'all's, to what you're talking about is, they, when it comes to NIL, Kirby wants proven guys at the wide receiver position. And, yep. And that's not a position where, he would much rather you allocate the money in the to NIL to, the trenches than it is to wide receiver. And cause he knows he can go out and he can land one or two wide receivers in the portal, after 1 year and never miss a beat in his offense. So, I think you see three, like you said, maybe four, depending on who it is. But you know, you're going to hold up, hold open one or two spots for the portal every year at the wide receiver position.
You're right. Which leaves up the question there from our Hall 55 is how many O-line and D-line in this cycle? And to your point, you can find great wide receivers. I don't say they're a dime a dozen, but there's a lot of them out there. But, you know, Cy earlier was saying Georgia needs an elite defensive tackle. There weren't that many in the transfer portal this year, and there were a ton of guys in the portal. Mm-hmm. Just it's tough to find great offensive linemen and great defensive linemen in the portal. So how many do they take in the recruiting class? Because you saw Kirby, he's signed, what, 11 offensive and defensive linemen this past class?
Six offensive linemen. On one side. I can't remember which is which.
Yeah, six offensive linemen and five defensive linemen.
Yeah, so he's like, well, I'm gonna sign a crap ton of them and try to get them now and develop them. So, but that brings up the question: how many does he go for this year?
I think you're gonna see a similar number. Okay. I think you might see one or two less, but I think you're going to see close to that 10 number between the two. I think you're going to see at least five offensive linemen. I think you're going to see four or five defensive linemen, not counting edge guys. Mm-hmm. So I think you'll see, I would say five and four would be a safe number right now, maybe even five and five.
Roger Dodge says everybody wants an offensive or defensive lineman in the transfer portal lots of times, and the choices are slim.
A good offensive lineman play, and that's where it's hard. That's where Georgia has benefited the most from, like you said, stacking talent, is they have 8 to 9 very good offensive linemen every year that you can mix in and you know, if somebody's hurt or somebody needs to take a game off, you've seen that because they're not 100%. You can just fill in and never miss a beat. I think
Warren Sawyer was hurt. Warren McClendon was hurt. Amarius Mims was hurt. I mean, talking first, second round, third round guys, Georgia didn't miss a beat until that last game when Mims went down. That was a little bit tougher, but that's because they had built a lot of it at that point. But you're right. I mean, In the Richt era, if you lost one of those top guys, you were replacing him with somebody who was a huge drop. Please continue.
And that's my point with the transfer portal. You're not going to find a transfer portal offensive lineman as good as Georgia has in their top eight, oftentimes. And that's just the way Georgia's been able to build the depth in their classes.
The only thing that I worry about, again, with Georgia's NIL, and we'll get to a show notes question there. I use this example when you have three really good guards. You have a Tate Ratledge, a Micah Morris, and a Dylan Fairchild. And let's say Dylan Fairchild, like, look, I'm the odd man out here. Those two guys got the spots locked. I'm going to try something else. He would be one of the top guys in the portal. Every school would be trying to get him. And let's say, you know, Georgia just didn't have enough money to keep him. That's not, again, this is just completely hypothetical. Dylan doesn't seem like that kind of guy, nor does Micah, nor does Tate. But if you lose a guy like that, either you don't have the money to get it or you don't have the options to replace him because there's just not another guy like that. So you got to have enough money to keep your best players.
And we don't even mention Xavier Truss, who started a lot of games at guard.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's just, you know, and they've got, but to your point, he's got new guys that can step in. I mean, we keep hearing about, you know, Calhoun. We saw Nyjer Daniels lose a bunch of weight, and you're waiting on Jamal Merriweather to be the guy, you know. And it's so if they do lose him, they're going to replace him. So I'm with you. I like how he builds inside out. He said it from his first press conference on. Show Notes Question says another NIL question. We keep hearing that the Classic City Collective and UGA need more small donors. But is there any talking about giving us potential small donors, something we've begged for years, and that's more program access, like more in-person practice or streaming content? The only fundraising ideas we're hearing coming out of Classic City Collective are high-dollar events like hunting trips, the gala this past weekend. Feels like we're on one five-star recruit decommit, and we're going to church for fish fries and car washes. Showing up, that has been a question. I was asked, you know, how does Georgia reach more? Because, again, the donor fatigue is real. And again, we had a guy come on our board. You read it. This is one of Georgia's top donors. He said, look, I get hit up constantly. It's not just for Georgia football players. It's for basketball players. It's for baseball players. It's for tennis and soccer and track and field. And then the athletic association itself needs money to operate, you know, to do what they do. And then the medical, I give to the University of Georgia, the academic side, you know. So if you there's 93,000 people in the stadium. If each one of those guys and girls was given $21 a month, changes the entire outlook. But to your point, I said the best way you get that, bring back picture day, bring back countdown to kickoff. Remember Kirby Smart used to have like one open practice a year in the stadium and people go sit in the stands, you know, give them sort of access. There's hardly any access and you demand money. It's BS. Mm-hmm. Give them, do more outreach, give them something instead of, hey, we'll give you a sticker or a hat. That's garbage.
My dad and I were just literally talking about, I mean, even back when Don and Rick early used picture day or signing day, I mean, you could get them for, you know, like an hour or two, and then you could watch practice. My dad and I were literally talking about that today and stuff. I
completely. Here's the thing: you could do the picture day. You could do countdown to kickoff, and you say, "Look, you know, it used to be free. Okay, we're not doing that anymore." But well, here's the thing: how many regular fans do you think have been inside the indoor practice facility? Have they ever had an open day? You can walk. It is a public university. You can walk into any damn building on campus. Walk around, but you can't walk into the football practice facility. This is a sport. I can understand not being able to go into the law offices, you know, or the main campus or something like that. Well, you know?
And not only that, you look at how they have the practice fields now. They've got the black tarp up all the way around the fences. And you know, I was talking with some people about that the other day, and I was like, yeah, you can't even get a accidental peek at practice if you're, you know, jogging or whatever. You know, that's not really important, but that's there's so much. It's very, you know, it's so much different from a openness standpoint.
Yeah, I get not letting them see practice. I'm fine with that. But
yeah, that's just
kind of at least walk in the building. And so if you could say, hey, we're having an open house, or you could do tours. Just come through, tour the building. It's $25 a person for a tour. People would line up down the streets. And then you say, okay, we're going to have a picture day or a countdown to kickoff. All the players will be there. The coaches will be there. Each autograph you get is $10. Or you can get the pack for $100 a person. You can get as many signatures as you want. You know, here's your armband. You know, we've got food. You can at least come in. It won't be hot. We've covered the ones that were outside on those practice fields in the middle of June. They were 1,000 degrees and put on by the Stinchcombs. And you were just out there melting. But people still showed up by the thousands just to be able to hand their post around and get it signed by a bunch of current and former players. So I'm with them. Give them the access. Anyway, we've talked a little. Yeah, we did it again. We went too long.
Yeah.
Hell, even I send out confetti. We send out a lot of that stuff. Towards the facility we built. Yeah, or do something at the battery. It would pay for itself. In other words, there's a lot of money left on the table, and that helps you not only in keeping your current players, but it helps you on the recruiting trail. So we could take out the, well, so-and-so dropped a giant bag on him because Georgia could say, hey, whatever your offer, your best offer will match it. Come play at Georgia. Anyway, that's all the time we have for this week, folks. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Sorry we went long. I know everybody wants to get to the game. It's 9:12. What's tip off? 9:20?
Yep.
Lance has got $1,000 riding on this game. So
don't tell anyone that.
And with that, we will see you folks next week. Y'all take care.